it, splashing around in its raincoat. The forecast continues to guarantee that it's not going to dry up anytime soon. Eyes closed, I don't dare look down because I know exactly how far I've fallen into oblivion along with it, and I don't want to glimpse how much distance is left before I land. I have zero guilt over Sean's current state of neglect because he had plenty of time with her before I claimed my rightful place. Just as the thought crosses, my phone rumbles, and the devil I'm thinking of flashes as the caller on screen. Unable to help myself, I answer it, putting it on speaker and sensing the hesitation in the air.
"Dom?" Sean asks due to my lack of greeting. "The fuck you doing, man?"
"What am I doing? Fucking your beautiful girlfriend's mouth?" I answer, thrusting in deep enough that her eyes water. I hold the phone out to her with the choice to end the call, keeping our eyes locked. She resumes sucking and grinning, and I tangle my free fist into her hair.
"What?"
Sean croaks on the other end of the line as Cecilia clamps hard around my dick, drawing a groan. Fire licks up my spine, and it's all I can do to keep my knees from buckling. "I said I'm fucking your girlfriend's perfect mouth, and you should be proud of her because she's... fucking hell," I rasp out as Cecilia's head bobs. "She's owning the fuck out of it." Silence. A second ticks by, then two.
"You're such a fucking dick."
"I'd say more than a mouthful," I muse, grinning before Cecilia wipes it from my face, hollowing her cheeks and taking a deep pull. "Fuck, baby," I croak, lowering the phone so Sean gets the full effect. "She's ravenous, bro. Shame the weather isn't putting out in your favor."
"God damn it," Sean grits out, his voice hoarse. "I miss that mouth."
I know he's getting off on this as much as me. Cecilia knows it too, which has her ditching the last of her foreplay and going all in.
"Keep talking. It's turning her on." "I'm in the middle of a shift."
His reply is gravel. "Then I suggest you get somewhere private and fucking fast." I chop out, nearly losing my shit when she cups my sack and tugs. She's in one of her moods. The plant noise lowers, and I know he's taken heed of my suggestion. "I feel for you," I say, massaging her scalp with my fingers. "And your current view," I taunt as she engulfs me. Because she's wearing nothing but fire red panties, perfect nipples at attention. She bobs again, taking me prisoner by digging her nails into my ass. I'm thinking maybe she bought these panties to wear for you. I run my finger along the stretch of her mouth. "Did you buy those to wear for Sean?" A strangled confirmation is hummed around my dick as Sean curses over the line. "Too bad you aren't here to see them," I say, pumping my hips. "She knows red is your favorite."
"I'm going to redden your perfect ass for that, Cecilia," Sean threatens, tone rough.
Cecilia noisily pops me out of her mouth, her voice liquid desire.
"Looking forward to it."
"Fuck, baby. Are you wet for me too?"
I lift my brows and grip her chin. "Tell him."
"You know I am,"
she moans, gripping my cock so hard at the base that my hips jerk.
"I miss you."
"This is torture,"
I'll say. She's licking me up and down like she's fucking starving, brother. I relay as she flattens her tongue along the bottom before swirling it along my head, our eyes locked. "I was just minding my own when she drove over, stripped down, dropped to her knees, and started sucking my cock." I run my thumb along her cheek. She looks so fucking beautiful doing it, lips stretched wide. "Too bad you're missing out," I grunt as she takes another hard pull before taking me down to the base.
"Fuck you,"
he growls as the noise at the plant dies with the snap of a door.
"I think you're making him hard,"
I whisper as she starts to edge me, to make it last. After another thorough pass, she pops me out of her mouth, whispering like I imagine a siren would.
Are you hard for me, Sean?
Fuck, yes. Always.
Are you in our office?
She asks, pumping me while scoring her nails over my abs. Yeah, baby. Do you need me to come home and help? That's not the way this works, I remind him. It's been raining all fucking week, he cracks out raggedly. It's up to her to share, but I would say our girl is owning it. I report as she takes me back down to the base, and I can't help my sharp exhale. Oh, fuck, Cecilia. Baby, will you save some for me?
Always.
Don't worry. I'll make sure she's well fed and taken care of. Using my grip on the back of her head, I thrust enough to gag her for him to hear. Sean's rapid, hard breaths sound over the line. Fuck, I'm already there. She's licking my crown. I report as fire ramps up my spine. She's teasing me, Sean. Maybe I should teach her a lesson. Don't you fucking dare hang up. Baby, talk to me.
I'll be in your bed.
She noisily sucks the tip.
As soon as the sun comes out,
she assures, cutting off my protest, gagging herself for us both as my cock jerks in warning. But her ass will already be red, I declare. The second she digs her nails into my thigh, I come, groaning hard as I pulse into her waiting mouth while she blunts her nails down my thigh. She takes every drop as I grip her chin after filling her mouth. Open, I order, and she does. She's got a mouthful of me, Sean. What should she do? Swallow, he orders without hesitation. You heard him, I say, releasing her cinched mouth from my grip before her throat bobs. She missed a little. Taking my thumb, I push it into her mouth. But she's sucking it off my thumb. Jesus Christ. Don't worry about grabbing me dinner, I taunt, grinning down at her. Because by the time you get here, I'll already have eaten. Ending the call, I pull her to her feet and Cecilia shakes her head, mock scorn in her eyes.
You're horrible.
You'll thank me for that, and you know it.
Yeah.
She grins.
I probably will.
You're finally owning it, I state, gripping her hair and pulling it back to expose her throat.
Yeah. I am.
She whimpers as I flatten my tongue at the divot of her throat before running it to her mouth, thrusting my tongue in for a little preview.
Dumb.
She grits out, body rattling with anticipation, chest heaving, eyes dilated, expression needy. Need something? She narrows her demanding navy blues. I love it when she gets like this because she's almost impossible to keep satiated. Gripping her jaw, I take her mouth, tasting myself while walking her back toward the bed. Pushing her back, I tug down her panties and sink to my knees. Spreading her soaked pussy, I stroke it with my fingers leisurely. And she's so fucking ready after what just went down that she comes. Gazing down at her, I send up a selfish prayer for more rain, just before I bow my head and worship. One day, I watched the sun setting 44 times. You know, when one is so terribly sad, one loves sunsets. Le Petit Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. 40. The nurse rolls Delphine to my open passenger door before helping me situate her in the seat. She surprises me when she calls after the nurse with a seemingly appreciative goodbye. Scrutinizing her when I'm in my driver's seat, I notice a difference in her demeanor. You good? You seem good. She gives me an easy nod as I turn the ignition over, eyes the same rare gray staring back at me.
You seem good too.
A rarity for us, I jest. My quip dims some of the light in her eyes before she speaks.
Can we go somewhere?
Her request has me pausing my hand on the gear shift. You don't want to go home?
I would like to see a sunset.
she declares, her attention darting out of the windshield and back to me.
Do you know of a place?
We live in a mountain town. There are plenty of places to choose from. I glance at my dash clock and see we have 2 hours at most before sundown.
Take me to one.
She orders, clicking her belt and settling in. You don't feel sick? I ask, pulling out of the circular drive.
I have cancer and poison pumping through me to chase it. I always feel sick.
An ill feeling runs through me as I question her motive. Planning on dying today?
No. Why?
She reads my expression.
I'm just trying to make good use of the time I have.
I mull that over. Did the doctor tell you something?
No.
I can call the oncologist, Delphine, I remind her.
No. I only had my treatment.
If I hadn't caught her wiping a tear away, I would never believe it was there. The only tears I've ever seen the woman shed were when I was still of single-digit age, and those were for my parents and her ex-husband.
You can take me home if you want to. I just wanted to spend some time with you. Is that such a crime?
Considering you never have, it's surprising.
We are friends now, are we not?
If you say so.
Fine. Take me home.
I've got a place to take you if you tell me why you're leaking. I prompt, spotting another fast tear trailing down her cheek. The sight of it jogs the memory of Cecilia that day she came to me. Her eyes were pouring, just as emotional, because something significant had happened, and it appears to be the case for my aunt. Why are you so upset, Tati?
I don't want to talk about me.
She appraises me as I pull to a stoplight.
You are a handsome man. So much of Celine I see in you.
Are we seriously having a heart-to-heart? I ask, utterly confused.
You have found love.
She states, not at all a question. I blink back at her. Why would you think that?
We are so alike, Dominic. I know you might not want to hear it, and maybe do not believe it, but we are. In many ways, I'm happy if you have.
Happy if I found love with Roman's daughter? I query incredulously. She stares back at me, lips quirking.
You deny you are?
That wasn't the question, I redirect. She turns back to stare out of the windshield.
I am happy you are capable, that you embrace it.
Wouldn't go that far, I mutter almost inaudibly, but that's not exactly true anymore. We spend the first of the drive making small talk, which makes me feel a little like I've entered the twilight zone. She laughs, twice, and loudly. The unease increases, and I start to wonder if she's lying about her treatment progression and is now on borrowed time. A little under an hour later, we're coasting up the narrow, winding road to the top of the mountain with 20 minutes to spare for the sunset. Delphine remains quiet, trusting me to get her there, anticipation radiating from where she sits with a rare hope in her eyes. When I pull into a parking lot which consists of nothing but a small building sitting to the right of us, she looks over to me skeptically.
Yeah?
I nod and walk around the car to help her out. She practically falls against me when she hits her feet, sweat beating her brow and upper lip as I grip her tightly to keep her upright. You okay? Her lips tremble, her pride at stake as she eyes the distance to the building.
I'm weaker then. We don't have to—
I'll walk you, I assure her. Her eyes again mist and I clutch her to me, walking her toward the building. When we reach the steep stairs leading to the door, she looks at them warily, shaking her head.
Dominic, I'm too weak.
I've got you. Sweeping her securely in my arms, I take the stairs toward the doorway just as a man opens it and spots us, quickly ushering his wife through and holding it for us to pass. Thank you, I mutter, and Delphine echoes it.
Thank you.
Her eyes trail the couple, who curiously stare back at us as I step in, cradling her to my chest. Don't be embarrassed, Tati, I tell her just as she buries her face in my shoulder before I slowly start descending the heavily inclined steps, passing the vacant pews which sit to our left and right. Once I reach the bottom, I glance around satisfied before nudging her with the lift of my shoulder. Just in time for the show. Look at your sunset, Tati. She slowly lifts her head and gasps when she sees the view before us. Feet ahead stands a 12-foot cross secured in a brick foundation, and to both sides of it lies a low-lying border wall. Beyond that is an endless sea of Blue Ridge mountain peaks, which are quickly becoming saturated in various hues of orange, gold, and pink.
Mon Dieu.
My God, she exclaims, her voice shaking as I lift her gently to her feet. She soaks in the scenery for several quiet seconds, her hand still clutched to my bicep as we watch mist and color steep through the mountaintops.
What is this?
It's called Pretty Place Chapel, I answer, just as taken aback by the sight before us, which is almost too surreal to believe. She shakes her head, shock and awe in her expression, appreciation in her voice, and follow-up question.
How do you know about it?
I've been here a few times, I admit. She narrows her eyes in suspicion.
You do believe.
Still in negotiations, I tell her. We spend a few quiet minutes as I glance around the small chapel and back to the blocked-out view the size of a theater screen. It's when I look back and glimpse the fear that's been crippling her expression since she was diagnosed that I speak up. I did a little research a few years back when I was curious.
Curious about what?
Your good book of morals, I grin. The climactic ending and what happens after. She nods in encouragement for me to continue. During my dive, I read a dozen or more stories and testimonies and came across one that took place back in the 80s. It has kind of stuck with me since. I glance over to see her focus on me. It was an account from a Texas housewife who was driving a station wagon on her way to JCPenney to pick up some curtains she'd ordered. Her two young daughters were coloring in the back of it. I searched my memory for the details that stuck out. What that housewife didn't know as she sped down that highway to run her everyday errand was that she would die 3 times that day. Delphine's eyes widen. She didn't know that just ahead, an 18-wheeler had stopped on the highway due to some debris, rolls of chicken wire. He hadn't turned on his signals or laid out traffic cones, so she didn't slow or brake and slammed into the back of it at full speed. Delphine listens, rapt, her eyes drifting back to the view. The woman was considered medically dead 3 times, twice on the way to the hospital, once while waiting for the helicopter, once in transit. Her longest flatline took place on the operating table. The medical staff wanted to call her death, but the doctor who'd been working on her refused to stop trying to bring her back. He was thinking of her two daughters being stitched up just a few rooms away. She was considered medically dead for longer than acceptable to have a decent prognosis if revived, to ever fully function again. But the doctor tried one last time and brought her back. The chapel fills with a misty pink hue as I relay the rest. She had significant brain damage, had to learn to walk and talk again, read and write. But she made a full recovery. I turn to Delphine and see she's hanging on every word. And do you know what her only complaint was? She gives a subtle shake of her head. That they brought her back, I grin. She'd seen what was waiting on the other side and didn't want a damn thing to do with the world anymore. Simmering tears fill her eyes. She claimed that in the time she was down, she experienced enough of the afterlife that she never wanted to exist anywhere else, that for the entirety of the time she spent there, she was enveloped in a perpetual state of love, nothing like the human love we experience, but magnified by a billion and then some. That every being there reverberates that love, and the second you brush against them or pass through them, you know every single thing about them, every detail of their lives. That the first time it happens, you become part of a collective consciousness. There's no judgment, no shame, no suffering, regret, or pain. Nothing but an inconceivable type of feeling no human mind could ever begin to comprehend. She swore that no living soul should ever worry about the question of an afterlife. Delphine breaks at that moment, crying in her hands, and I whisk her to sit in the first pew, leaving a palm on her back as her body shakes with her cries. A few beats pass before whispered apologies are amplified by the hands covering her face, and I'm just able to make them out.
Je suis désolée. Je suis désolée, Dominique.
She gasps before lifting red-rimmed eyes to mine.
Truly sorry for the way I treated you.
Tears of regret roll down her face.
I was so horrible to you both in the beginning.
You can still beat it.
Maybe, but this apology is long overdue. It is one of my biggest regrets.
You were young, heartbroken, and penniless. And don't forget, I know what got you to the place you were in. This life hasn't given either of us very many breaks. In that, we are alike.
You were just a little boy. You shouldn't have had to suffer for it. I was selfish. I've been selfish for a very long time.
You were, but I forgave you a while ago.
You did not.
Okay, I grin. I've been trying.
I will understand if you don't.
She stares back at the view.
I do not deserve it.
Maybe, but you could have abandoned us, which could have separated us. I keep that in mind when memories of you piss me off. She grins.
You grew into a good man, Dominic. I do not take any credit for that, though I should warn you again that we are very much alike.
Think so?
Sadly, I know so.
She turns back to take in the last of the setting sun.
Do not let your heart harden, you, like mine did. I've lost too much because I could not forgive.
I'll do my best. We watch the last of the sun sink before we stand. And she turns to me.
Thank you for that story.
There are hundreds, if not thousands, like it, all claiming that there's something waiting. For every person fiercely claiming there's a deity, there's another hell-bent on proving nothing exists. At the end of the day, both are so bloated with ego, so firm in their beliefs that neither can prove it. It's the world's best-kept secret, one that none of us become privy to until we become a part of it. But there's got to be some truth to some of those stories. Right? She nods. So try not to worry too much. I nudge her shoulder and she gives me a rare, full smile. After a silent but peaceful drive home, I lead her into the house to get her settled, my chest aching a little at her admissions and the isolation she's endured for so long. We dwelled in the same state of desperation, both recluses for fucking years, never mending the bridge even as we both suffered the same type of existence. She wasted half her life as an alcoholic recluse to heartbreak, because every single man in her life had failed her, robbed her of security at every turn. It started with her father and ended with her husband, and every man between those two. Despite her admirable resilience up until her husband left her, that final blow had her withdrawing, drinking her secrets silent with her daily bottle until her existence was nothing but background to others who were living. The idea that we are a lot alike in some of those respects starts to instill a sort of fear in me. The minute we step into the house, the scent of lemon and other household chemicals hit hard, jarring me. Clicking on the light, I spot a notice on top of an empty plant stand for a recent extermination. Glancing around, I see that the house is spotless, the shelves are dusted. Walking into the kitchen, I open the cupboard and see the dishes have been washed and neatly stacked. Glancing over at Delphine as she settles in her recliner, she answers my unspoken question without so much as looking at me.
She didn't want you to know, but now you do.
Cecilia. Instantly, the liquid passing through the beat in my chest solidifies her name inside before passing through to the other. Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh. I can't even imagine the reception she was met by when she showed up. Chest aching with the need to get to her, panic briefly seizes me. Fuck, did she?
No.
She squelches that fear, reading my thought.
His room is still locked.
When she finally looks at me, I see that same guilt I saw the night Cecilia knelt at her feet begin to seep into her expression. What? I ask, walking over to where she sits and crossing my arms. We've been sharing bluntly all night, Tati. Why stop now?
I've wronged her.
She whispers low, gaze distant.
In the past.
Wronged Cecilia? She nods, her eyes watering. Fuck.
It's the most despicable thing I've ever done.
Her eyes gloss with memory.
When I...
She shakes her head as a sharp pang of protectiveness thrums through me. Tell me.
It was a long time ago.
I'm listening.
When I worked at the plant, I told you I was close to her mother, Diane, for a short time.
I nod.
After they died, I knew she knew what happened and that Roman had something to do with it. I was angry.
Delphine, what did you do?
Cecilia was an infant.
She whispers as if her timbre will have any bearing on the delivery.
I got really drunk and broke into her mother's house.
And?
I put a loaded gun in Cecilia's crib.
She grimaces.
While she was sleeping in it.
Jesus Christ, Tati.
I wanted to send a message to Roman that we knew that fire wasn't an accident.
What happened?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I left the safety on.
Oh, well, that changes everything. Fury seeps into me as I pull the keys from my jeans pocket when lightning flickers just outside the living room window.
Dominic?
Delphine calls behind me, but I ignore her, my chest thundering as the rain begins to pour off her roof. Whatever confessions Delphine has left, I decide she can take them to her grave or find a priest to confess to. The image of Cecilia with a loaded gun at her head sends a shiver through me, making me physically ill as I pound down the steps and start my Camaro. Tearing out of the drive, the need to come clean surges through me as I race toward the townhouse, toward her. As much as I fucking hate Roman, as it turns out, my own family is just as guilty of the same malicious intent concerning her. It strikes me on the drive that no matter who guards them, secrets, especially those that are most fatal, have a way of poisoning those who keep them, as well as those on the receiving end of discovering them. When it comes to my tie to Cecilia, we were damned before we met, through no fault of our own. And in discovering each other, we're both slowly being poisoned. Pulling into the drive, relief covers me at the sight of Cecilia's car. Thunder rolls as I exit and get drenched in the seconds it takes to get to the door. Cracking it open, I see Cecilia bundled on the love seat facing the sliding door, earbuds in as she reads along with the audio on her Kindle. Closing the door with a soft click, I creep in, ducking behind the couch when she senses she's not alone. Waiting until she's comfortably reading again, I pounce from behind, soaking her with my dripping hair as I grip her and pull her over the back of the couch.
Dom!
She shrieks, palming and pushing against my soaked t-shirt as I shake my head, shedding water and soaking her in the process. Twisting her to face me, I scoop her into my hold before resting her ass on the edge of the couch.
You're terrible.
She laughs as she sinks into me, and I shut up the rest of her protests with my kiss. When I break it, I pull back to admire the heat in her eyes, lids hooding, breaths coming fast, a slow smile spreading across her face with her greeting.
Hi.
Her legs tighten securely around me as I lift her up and walk us toward the stairs.
God, you're soaked. Let's get you dry.
She says, squirming in my hold. Let's get you wet, I counter. When she bites her lip, the divot in her chin brings my cock full mast.
How was work?
Work? She rolls her eyes.
How are you?
Still me.
Motherfucker.
Only the once. Her body tenses.
I didn't need to know that.
I widen my eyes. But you seem to need to know everything else. She sobers and takes offense.
You really just want me pliable and mute?
I press my lips together as she slaps my chest playfully and tries to pry herself away when we reach the top of the stairs.
Such an asshole.
Told you I was.
You can tell me many things, but you'll never convince me of that, sir. Not that way.
You should believe me.
Stop trying to scare me away from you, Dom. I'm not going anywhere.
I set her on her feet as she surveys my room.
So, what's it going to be tonight? We could read. I could make you dinner or breakfast. How about runny eggs in a movie?
I nod. An hour later, we're stretched out beneath our freshly laundered blanket, inhaling the fresh scent I can't place. I glance around the townhouse. It's just the two of us, with Sean working his night shift at the plant and Tyler unaccounted for, as he has been the last week, spending both his days and nights elsewhere. I suspect that if I drive back to Delphine's, I'd find his truck in the driveway, but I don't bother trying to draw that out of him. I'll make peace with Delphine for her confession at some point, but that's not happening tonight, as the same surge of protectiveness sweeps me. Swallowing, I fixate on Cecilia as she watches the movie, completely wrapped, hand still in the popcorn bowl. Grabbing her hand, I lift it and suck the remnants of the cheddar from her fingers. She turns my way briefly, and I release her, feigning interest in the story playing out on screen. When she turns back to the TV, I keep her hand in mine, running my thumb along the back of her delicate hand before splaying my palm next to hers. Mine rough and calloused, hers smooth against it. My digits thick in comparison to her slim, delicate fingers, mine covered in blood and wrath while hers remain unsoiled. Whoosh, whoosh.
You have found love.
Delphine's whisper trickles in. It found me. Whoosh, whoosh. I love you. I whisper in declaration just as thunder rattles the sliding glass doors, the confession dying with that warning as she looks over to me in question. Whoosh, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh. I jerk my chin slightly as she turns back to the movie. I soak in her profile, taking note of the length of her lashes, the utter perfection of her nose, and the fullness of her lips. Legs draped over my lap, she sinks further into the couch as I watch and wait. Eventually it happens. Her chest begins to pump, emotions emanating from her, a whimper leaving her throat as tears form in her eyes. Turning back to the screen as the clueless asshole professes his love, I glance back to see Cecilia buying every second of it. It's so easy to see that love is her life force, her reason for being. What drives her? I didn't need to witness her watching this to know it because she's just as emotional with me. When I lose myself in her, when she lingers after every spoken sentiment and the way she looks up at me when I fuck her slow and deep. She's 100% fucking heart, and it leaks everywhere, no matter where she is or what situation she's in. She's incredibly brave in that respect. For that, I admire her. For that, I respect her. For that, I fucking fear for her. When her tears finally spill over, I lean over and snatch one with my lips. Her breath hitches, and her watery eyes zero in when I sweep the salt collected away with my tongue, biting back the words that were never supposed to slip from my lips. I give her another truth. You're beautiful, Cecilia. It's the first time I've said it without anything physical happening between us, and her eyes widen a little with the sentiment. This woman has completely consumed me in every way that matters, and she needs to know. Instead, I press a promise into her as I take her lips in a kiss, a vow without words that I'll protect her perfect heart as much as I can, a vow without words but a promise just the same. A promise I'll do everything in my power to keep. Looking into her eyes, I vow she'll never know about the monster she can't see, because I'll slay them all before they have a chance to get to her. Even if that monster is me. 41. The sky delivered tonight before the sun fully set. Endless stars litter the vast expanse above from where we lay on my hood, where Cecilia rests, cradled in my hold. My heart beats steadily as she gazes up with me, music filtering from the cabin of my Camaro. Crickets chirp around us in offering with the rest of the budding night noise, as contentment blankets me in a way I never thought possible.
Dom?
Yeah.
What do you want? You know, for the future.
Too much to explain, but she means personally, and that answer is simple, despite the inkling she's given me of something different. I have no way of navigating that inkling in the present, so I stick to what I do know. I've never been able to picture a personal future beyond the minute I exist in.
It's not a stupid question.
She prompts with mild scold. I opened this can of worms minutes ago by telling her what I remember about Maman and Papa, giving her pieces of the truth while skirting our parents' merged pasts and how they factor into the puzzle. This question I can answer truthfully. Nothing.
I guess it's a good thing you won't be disappointed.
Am I supposed to ask what you want now?
Not if you don't care.
I do, but I can't offer it to you. I tuck my fingers into her silky hair before voicing more truth. I'm not future-centered. Plans don't make the man. Because I tried that tactic and was blocked at every turn.
I know. Live in the now. Take each day as it comes. I get it, but isn't there something you want?
I'm holding it. No, but there's obviously something you do. She stays silent for long beats, stiffening slightly in the crook of my arm. We've been copacetic since I accepted my fall, but something tells me what's stirring inside her now has nothing to do with my refusal to give her promises. Knowing she's getting lost in her thoughts, I gently nudge her. What?
I don't like putting a voice to my fears, because then I can only expect them to come true.
That's bleak.
It's better than not wanting anything in the future.
I already know what happens.
What do you mean? You can predict the future?
In a fleeting second, I conjure the blueprint I tucked away for when the time is right. I can predict mine because I make shit happen.
What is it?
Whatever I decide. When I'm finally unshackled.
Just for once, can you give me a straight answer?
I can't help the twist of my lips as I run my eyes down the length of her. She floated down Roman's porch steps hours ago, looking every bit my realized fantasy for our date. Our first, and mine. A secret I keep to myself, but a secret I share with her. Only her. Her greeting as she entered the Camaro was soft-spoken.
I missed you.
A genuinely whispered sentiment I've come to rely on, which keeps me aching to return it. I did everything I could to make it memorable. I denied the easy affections I give her behind closed doors because right now, I'm no longer in daily communication with Tobias. I think it's because he may be on to us. He didn't answer my last text after I ghosted him briefly when the weather permitted, but if he has caught wind of our deception, we may very well be under a watch we haven't detected yet, which has me up in arms. The familiar ill feeling starts to sink in, and I banish it by craning my neck enough to peer over at her. Spotting a smear of black beneath her eyes, my gaze slowly drops to her swollen, thoroughly kissed lips, focus drifting between the faint marks on her neck and chest, evidence of when I ravaged her the second we pulled up. Twice. Fixating on the freshly fucked look of her, I revel in the slight imperfections I created and how they got there. What was the question?
Do you ever get jealous?
No. A white lie, but not for any conclusion she may draw.
Why?
Because he can give you things I can't. Sean can freely express himself to her, whereas I'm limited. His ink is etched skin deep, and though his promise is genuine, it's ultimately up to him to keep stock in it, even if the words are there for me, too, along with the need to claim her in totality. Both of us have withheld staking that claim and putting a voice to it with so much deceit between us. Until she knows the whole truth, I can't utter them. Where Sean might. Because underneath my ink is a blood tie made with my brother, which binds me from being anything more than what I am to her now. That's where any jealousy I harbor lies.
I'm not complaining. Please don't think that, but why can't you?
Because I'm not like him. I'm a lot simpler. Even now, it remains the truth.
I don't believe that.
It's true. The guilt gnaws deeper, eating away at my resolve. At this point, I'm struggling daily to count the number of lies I keep to hold my secret to the truths I can reveal. and it's fucking crippling. Sensing my discomfort, she traces my jaw in a caress that has me aching while voicing her declaration.
You are anything but simple.
My needs are. I don't want things like other people. Even if I could imagine a future for myself, I don't see anything resembling the type of personal future so many others strive for.
Why? Why train yourself for such simplicity when you are worth so much?
My chest caves in with the look she gifts me, the one that makes me feel invincible.
You are so much more than what you let people see, than what you give yourself credit for.
That's the point. She holds my eyes hostage with her next question.
Why won't you let people know you?
You're my people. You know me? Her eyes soften to the point I almost look away. The deceit tearing at my insides as she speaks again, nailing me with right hook sentiment.
And I'm lucky.
Jesus Christ. You are anything but.
Please, just stop that.
She cuts herself off before digging in.
You don't have low self-esteem. What's with this glib shit?
Because if I voice my own fears, I know they'll manifest by my own fucking doing and I'll lose you. I swallow. There is so much you don't know.
I want to, Dom. I want to know all sides of you.
You don't, Cecilia. You think you do, but you don't. The vow I made strengthens within me that she will never glimpse the dark I do embrace.
You think I won't care for you like I do?
Things will change. It's the absolute truth, and even as knowledgeable as she is thanks to Sean, and as strong as she's becoming, the flip side of our reality and the life I live under her radar is sometimes too much for me to handle.
I don't care,
she declares, palming my chest.
I want in. Please, let me in.
I can barely contain the sting building in my throat as I remain mute. After several beats of my forced silence, she relents.
Okay. Okay.
She presses a kiss to my jaw.
It's hard being with you. It's just hard sometimes.
The burn that statement causes has me losing my grip briefly as I let her in on the most important truth, a truth she made fact. You are in. She looks back up at me and I see it so clearly. She loves me. Words seem meaningless compared to what thrums between us, but I see those damning words forming as we gaze at each other, my pulse spiking as I soak in her expression and see it so distinctly, so intently, it's unmistakable. She loves me. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Covering her mouth with my palm, I stop her attempt to voice them because if she utters a single one, I might not ever come back from it. Don't waste good words on me. She loves me. Knowing is enough. But I refuse to recite those words unless I can act on them. As of right now, I can't. Her eyes search as I keep my palm in place to silence her and think of any way to offset the sting I know I'm causing. It's okay, Cecilia. I'm as close to happy as a man like me deserves. It's all I have left for her until I sort through the debris collecting daily between us. Chest alight with the awareness of her unspoken declaration, we stare back up at the sky, which feels like it's peering back at us, laying witness. Getting lost, my mind wanders as I engage them. Questioning whether the cosmos really has anything to do with our life path, if destiny and fate truly play a role in anyone's life. Tobias forged our path, and I latched on. I wonder briefly if he saw me with him when he did, or if it was his destiny alone that he invited us to be a part of. If that's the case, it's always felt right, felt like mine, just as the woman beside me does. Wordlessly, I ask the visible galaxy comprised of sentinel stars what the future holds for us, while knowing I'm stuck in limbo for an answer. Which is fucking torment. Tobias's return is imminent. I can feel it with every fiber of my being. With that coming, our future remains unknown. Even so, I feel the steady beat of my heart driving me forward to face whatever is waiting on the other side of this. What Cecilia and I have is worth standing ground for, but coming clean means exposing Tobias completely and endangering the club. I could never do that. Our purpose is about so much more than our selfish needs, and we have livelihoods that rely on the success of our club and lives literally dependent on it. I can't throw that away or be that selfish. Therein lies the crux of falling, giving merit to Tobias's consistent warning of entanglements and this mindfuck of a situation with no viable solution I can conceive of. In this case, the truth will not fucking set us free, but damn us.
Have you hurt people?
Cecilia asks, bringing me back to the hood, to her. I answer with silence. That truth and those details are something I might eventually confess with time, if her place is claimed and accepted amongst us, if somehow she can forgive me for the lies.
Do I make you happy? Even a little?
Stupid question, but I answer it with a slow, deep kiss, pressing that truth into her until she's thoroughly convinced. Gathering her from my hood just after, I hoist her to wrap around me, carrying her toward the passenger door, ambling slightly until her breath catches. Fuck.
Tom, did you just sway your hips?
Busted. Though shrouded in the dark, I see her eyes bugging wide along with her smile.
OMG, did you just dance a little with me?
Sighing, I press my forehead to hers. Cecilia.
Yes?
She beams back at me. When you call me out for this shit, it stops. Haven't you figured that out by now?
That you're a closet romantic and love it? Yes, I figured that out ages ago. You're really not that smart nor smooth, King.
Opening the passenger door, I dump her unceremoniously into the seat. Date over. Her laughter trails me even as I slam the door on it, hiding my grin until I'm in the driver's seat. Sean summons us by text just as I hit the main road. Shifting, I turn in that direction, catching a flash of Cecilia's hair in my peripheral. Ripping my eyes from the vacant street, I glance over to see her head resting against the seat, head tilted toward the breeze, gaze trained up at the sky. This is happy. Sensing my stare, she looks back at me, a smile cracking her face, and with it, she steals the last unchartered piece of me. As that elation scores through me, it's muted slightly by the anxiety that's been trickling in for the last few days. I'll make it a point to get a hold of Tobias soon and talk to Sean about how in the fuck we're going to sort this. I just have to believe my brother will hear me when the time comes. When we pull up to the garage, Cecilia spots Sean's car and hops out, tossing a look my way as I trail her, noticing his is the only one in the parking lot. I assumed his text was a summons to join whatever festivities were going on. Knowing we're alone, Tyler absent, and wondering why he summoned us both, every step becomes heavier as I follow her into the bay. Striding in, my heart fucking stops along with my footing when Sean locks eyes with me while Cecilia races toward him. He knows. Dread filters through me as Sean forces a smile for Cecilia while blood pulses in my ears. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Every bit of the contentment I just found gets ripped away as my heart thrashes with the knowledge. He knows. Sean and Cecilia's conversations partially muted with the erratic beat. Up to no good? Whoosh, whoosh.
Always.
Whoosh, whoosh. My girl. Those words crush me as she inquires about everyone else's whereabouts, and Sean tells her he's taking her home so we can talk. Her confused eyes dart between us as my insides start to rattle, feeling like they're about to break apart. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Cecilia reads us both easily and puts a voice to it.
Are you safe?
Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Is an illusion, baby. Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
For once, can you lie to me?
Whoosh, 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 whoosh.
hate the ground you walk on. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Sean's eyes find mine once again. When did you find out? Now, when I texted you. Fuck. I sweep Cecilia from head to foot as anxiety takes hold. Get her home. Sean moves to usher Cecilia away and she refuses him, rushing toward me instead as our cloud starts to disperse. When she reaches me, I sweep her into a kiss, feeling the break start inside as she surrounds me. Clinging to every second, desperation laces the last press of my lips. You gotta go, baby. I keep her gaze for as long as I can, burning it in, knowing the next time our eyes meet, that look may only be glimpsed in memory. Sean whisks her away, and it's the brush of our fingers as she literally slips through my hands and our cover disappears. That does me in. As she vanishes from my peripheral, the loss consumes me, and I boil over. Destroying everything in my path, the crashes fuel me as I fucking rage against the laughing heavens who duped me into thinking this reality was possible. A reality where I got to keep the girl and everything else I hold close. But I can't exactly blame them because I called on them too late. I can't blame fate or the fortune that's never been on my side or anyone but myself. I forged my own future from the minute I was capable and chose this fate. It was only inevitable that after ignoring every crackle of warning in the sky and every rumbling step that followed outside my window, the heartless giant I helped to create would finally appear. Trying to reason with love is fucking pointless. It doesn't care about your reasons, right or wrong. Love has no regard for circumstance, nor does it give a fuck what state it puts you in. It's a relentless and unforgiving emotion that will never let you lie to yourself. Tobias, the finish line. 42.
Please, Dom. Please don't go.
Hell exists. Hell's current geographic location? Paris, the city my brother conquered in his early 20s and declared our righteous prison. Hell's definition? Replaying the last year and change on a loop while questioning my decisions and the choice I made every second of every day since. Because the giant didn't appear. No. Tobias waited 3 agonizing weeks to come home, weeks in which we pleaded with him to return our calls and texts, weeks where Sean and I lost our goddamned minds, completely unaware of where his own cognizance was at, along with his whereabouts and intentions for us, Tyler included. Tobias either figured it out before he made the bird I charged to watch him or spotted his feathered tail just after, because he dropped off the radar. This left us scrambling in his wake, only to imagine and prepare for the worst. For 2 of those weeks, Cecilia fled to Georgia with a broken heart, a heart that we shattered by design in an attempt to get a message to him. The mystery of who spilled our secret remains unknown. It was a bird outside of our inner circle. Of that much, we were certain as we formulated a plan. Said plan was as much of a fool's plot as the one we used to betray Tobias, which in turn cleaved me in 2, leaving me in dual, measured pieces burning in the aftermath. 1 part was on fire for her, the other sifting through the singed remnants for any remaining bond with my brother. Watching Cecilia crumble in the garage while realizing what vindictive actions we're capable of was one of the most brutal experiences I've ever endured. I broke my own vow to guard her immaculate heart in a stupid fucking attempt to distance her from our deceit and keep her safely away from my brother's wrath. Witnessing her spiral, which felt like it played out in slow motion, further widened the fracture inside me, especially when her deep blues beseeched us for any sign it wasn't the truth. Sean had given me the ammo to make it convincing, and it was. Too convincing. For me, at the time, it was the only way to try to distance her from the path of destruction coming our way, while also attempting to mask the truth until we had a chance to explain ourselves.
When Sean broke at the sight of it, his punch felt like a bee sting compared to the gutting I felt as she cried openly, which further drove the slow sink of the knife into my chest as it pierced her own due to our gift of precision. Every agonizing second of watching her fall apart in that garage will forever be ingrained in my memory. Those weeks of torment have only led to more and those that followed, heading up to the minutes that now haunt my every waking hour.
Please, Dom. Please don't go.
After 2 weeks of deserved silence from the two people we annihilated for our selfish gain, Sean and I decided that when and if Cecilia returned to the plant, Sean would come clean about Roman, thus revealing him as the prime suspect in my parents' death and our revenge plans while omitting Tobias, a way to further prepare her while giving her leverage in an effort to gain some of her trust back. A risk we decided was worth taking if we only implicated ourselves. We'd already given her access to the club, how we worked, and our trust. Decision made, when she returned from Georgia, we kept our distance from Roman's house. We were flying blind, unknowing if he was already back in the States or who might be watching and reporting our every move. The mindfuck of my missing brother felt like a punishment in and of itself. Despite the burn her absence caused, I hoped Cecilia would stay in Georgia to avoid being on a collision course with whatever was coming until we could do some damage control. Her reason for returning was selfless, and I knew it had everything to do with her mother, which only intensified my guilt. The day after her return, I lost my shit and went AWOL, straying from every thought-out decision Sean, Tyler, and I had agreed upon. Sean was set to intercept her first with parts of the truth, but I allowed my need to take over, starving for the sight of her. I knew my behavior was fucking borderline as I drove like the four-letter cursed man I'd become. I was driving down the road next to Roman's mansion, hoping she would hear my engine before idling nearby on the off chance she came out of hiding. Eventually she did, spotting me on the side of the road before leading me on a street chase, intent on losing me. After realizing it was a pointless crusade I was not backing away from, she pulled over and came out swinging with war in her eyes, delivering death blow after death blow, her stinging heart voicing every brutal delivery. My emotions were so all over the fucking place that I acted a fool by allowing them to cloud my judgment. Instead of behaving or saying what I should have, I was apologizing one second, filled with pride the next for her fiery return, and rock fucking hard after her wicked display of backbone and voicing as much. You've come a long way.
Is that supposed to be a compliment?
It was, and admittedly ill-timed. Her reception pulled me in and drove me to kiss her venom away, while her vicious backlash fueled me to try and bridge the separation. During that exchange, I knew I would love her through every bit of whatever our future brought, owning it to Tobias and taking any penalty my brother doled out. I told her as much with my declaration. I have to let you go for now, but I don't fucking want to. I don't have a choice, but everything I do now, it's for you. She fought me, brutally, but in the end I knew there was forgiveness there. In both our hearts, we were far from over. Even with the hard-edged internal change in her makeup from the damage Sean and I caused, it was evident she was ready to face my brother, if it happened, and whatever hell he brought with him. That I was ready for. That I was prepared for. What I wasn't prepared for was the complete and utter devastation that greeted Sean and me when Tobias finally arrived back in Triple Falls, before he, too, openly cracked in front of us. This was for Maman and Papa, Dom. We were so close, brother. Why? His voice was ragged and broken, decimating. Even as we stood, lined up like the soldiers he raised us to be, chins lifted to accept our fate while determined to plead our case, in seeing the damage we'd done, we both faltered. The more he unraveled, the more our argument paled, our fight lessening as he leapt between agony and fury, both devastating. Tell me, brothers, word for word, how you deceived me for 3 months. Our sentence passed. 10 months. 10 fucking months. 3 times as many as I admitted we'd been deceiving him, adding another to ensure we knew just how much his faith in us had been destroyed. Tell me every single thing you did, every purposeful lie you told me, every move you made to betray me this way, to keep me in the dark, and then tell me how you love. Tell me you love me.
With our every objection refused and dismissed, even after openly admitting we loved her, we agreed to his soul-crushing sentence. What he told us next had us reeling. Before we'd had a chance to intercept, Tobias had outed himself to Cecilia. Sean and I firmly believed at the time that collision annihilated any hopes we had of convincing him of her place with us, that he saw what I saw when he laid his eyes on her, that he perceived her as a naive and innocent girl with no business in our business, no place in our world, and no promise. He had not a single fuck to give about any of our admissions because he couldn't see past his devastation.
I can't even fucking look at you.
He hasn't since. Not once. Drunk to the point of nearly passing out, his words and mindset were crystal clear. As Tyler drove Tobias away, we chose his sentence and the club, our brothers, and our purpose, believing if there was a way to get her back, to lessen its length, we'd find it, that Tobias would forgive us, reduce our time, and bring us home. It was his ultimatum of no contact with her that had us raw as we tied up any loose ends before we broke our lives down into boxes. Sean and I turning over our townhouse keys to Tyler as movers herded our shit out to storage until our future was decided. My suspicions were that Tyler was already living elsewhere and remained tight-lipped about it during the move. Neither of us gave him shit about it because he spared us his own backlash for his strained relationship with Tobias, along with a promise to vigilantly watch over Cecilia. This is all we could ask for because even as he did promise to guard her, we didn't get to know anything else. But it was the last day, the day we were leaving for the airport, that refused and still refuses to release me.
RB just texted, Sean says, checking his burner behind the wheel before turning his engine over. Cecilia's at the Apple Festival, alone. I'm going.
No. I jerked my head even as my heartbeat ramped up.
I have to, man, his voice a plea. I have to see her, give her something, he snapped as he pulled out of King's garage, turning in the direction of Main Street, decision solidified. 10 fucking months, Dom!
I lost that dispute before it started, too lost in my own shit to put up much of a fight, all of it drained from me with the dread of the months ahead. My real battle began as I sat idle in his Nova, hand on the handle as hellacious minutes ticked by and our flight time drew closer. Mere blocks away, she was somewhere in the crowd, aware of the truth about my parents and Tobias's existence, aware that we lied and manipulated her, but unaware of where we were going and for how long. Forbidden to make her cognizant unless we want our wings clipped. The only thing I urged Sean to tell her, and he refused before exiting.
I've already told her that day is coming and she'll wait, Dom. She will.
After 10 minutes in that fucking car, the overwhelming urge to leave her with something from me had me stepping out just as Sean stalked back down the alley to his driver's door, looking as fucked as I felt. His return had my heart hitting concrete that I missed my own window. We had a plane to catch, and if we missed it, we may never fly again. My dashed hopes had me spiraling until I turned and saw Cecilia racing straight toward us, toward me, stopping feet away as she looked up and our eyes connected.
Please, Dom, please don't go.
Turning toward the window, instead of the late night backdrop, all I can visualize is that sun-drenched day in an alley thousands of miles away. A moment in time I can't get back, no matter how fucking much I want it. I don't even have to close my eyes to see it vividly. Long hair blowing around her face, watery blue eyes pleading as tears for me roll down her cheeks, hands pressed to her chest with her confession.
I love you.
It was the opposite of what I expected. It wasn't anger that greeted me when she cornered Sean and me in that alley, but a mix of determination and vulnerability in her expression before she fell apart with her confession. We'd readied her as much as we could without the full truth. But judging from the look of her, she was suffering as much as we were. She knew the truth about our deception, and she still loved us. Loved me. There was no trace of hatred for the fact we'd wronged her so horribly, lied to her, deceived her,
She tracked me down. She'd followed Sean to make sure I knew she loved me, that no matter where I was taking that love, she was willing to let me pack and part with it, even if I didn't deserve it. All I can see is anguish twisting her flawless face, the desperation in her voice as she moved toward me, and I jerked my chin, refusing her, denying us both as my brother's warning played barrier. But the true reason was, if I so much as took another step toward her, I never would have gotten back in that car. But I made the decision. I chose my brother and the club. I left her there without returning the sentiment or giving her anything she deserved after she did the impossible and forgave me. Leaving those words unreturned is a regret I'll carry until the day I die, even if I do get a chance at redemption. I never once truly deserved her love, trust, loyalty, or faithful heart. Fuck my brother for denying me that moment, for being the very reason I'm ripped right down the fucking middle and have been for these long, torturous fucking months. It's been far too many days since I've laid eyes on her, heard her voice, her laugh, drank in the look in her eyes, touched her, fucked her, let myself love her. Every mile between us ripped me apart as we sped toward the airport. Sean remained wordless the entire ride. It was only when we silently commiserated and wait for the plane that Sean again tried to console me, shorty in both tone and delivery.
She'll wait for us, Dom. She will.
It was as our flight was about to board that it occurred to me that Tobias and Cecilia might have collided at Roman's house. It's when I voiced as much to Sean, realizing that I was still privy to the camera feed, that he perked up as I frantically searched the recorded storage of that day. Seconds later, my throat burned as we were granted a parting gift. As our flight was called, Sean and I watched the soundless standoff play out from every angle at the pool. Mortified as Tobias hovered over her and tried to humiliate her by hiding her bikini top, which had us both fucking fuming. It was after enduring a few tense minutes of his berating that she came back swinging with the same ferocity, hitting him with the lotion bottle in the back of the head as Sean and I shared a pride-filled expression and loud chuckle, both of us in fucking awe of her. Though we couldn't hear a damned word of it, we didn't really have to, the body language between them telling enough from what we caught. From the second they collided, our worst fear playing out before our eyes, we knew that conversation was damned. Hostile posturing took place on both ends, and the back and forth was intense before Cecilia finally snapped and engaged him with her real power, pleading with her heart to his retreating back. Sean's eyes reddened as we both watched her while dragging our suitcases down the jetway, knowing that whatever she was saying was for us, while she hoped her heart-filled plea would somehow sink in. After watching it again, Sean spoke up, red-rimmed eyes on mine.
Leave it to our girl to have us lusting after her 1 second, terrified the fucking next, and laughing before leaving us aching and in awe of her. We never had a chance, Dom.
His next words were jarring, part serious, part joke, as he glanced back at the screen with a love-soaked expression.
If she ever fucking forgives us, let's fucking marry her.
We watched the footage twice more before we were forced to power down the burner, both of us equally as fucked up. Guilted by the fight she gave for us, which we failed to give for her, we shared a long look before manning up to start serving our sentence. His words mimicking my thoughts as we sped down the runway.
She's worth it.
Never truer words spoken. But where time used to blur for me, and days and dates passed without remembrance, the days and nights I spent with her appear with every beat in my chest, an engraved timestamp. I swore I would try to forget her the minute Tobias looked at me the way he did the night he confronted us in the parking lot, face etched with devastation. It was as if he realized we weren't worth it, that I wasn't worth it. It was the worst I've ever felt in my life, next to leaving her in that alley.